Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alexander the Great, the greatest show on earth, the great one. We can't blame Jesus' disciples for asking their question about greatness. Everybody knows what it takes to be great. We can't all achieve that goal in our own lives, but we all understand that greatness is measured in terms of power, skill, wealth, and spectacle. In the space of a decade, Alexander led his Greek armies in victories that stretched his empire as far east as India and as far south as Egypt. For nearly a century, or maybe it was even a century, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus entertained millions of people all over our continent with all kinds of spectacular acts. And then, over the course of his career in the NHL, Wayne Gretzky set or shared a total of 61 awards and records. Jesus had been preaching about a kingdom, God's kingdom. And he had certainly demonstrated the great power of that kingdom. He healed Peter's mother-in-law so that she was well enough to serve the guests in her home. He drove out a legion, a great number of evil spirits from the soul of a man tormented in the land of Gergesa. He calmed a storm on the Galilean Sea with one command: peace, be still. And he fed more than 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. No wonder the disciples expected greatness from Jesus. No wonder they wondered and worried over who would stand next to him in his kingdom as the next great one. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciple who answers all the Lord's questions correctly? The one who gathers the most converts to Jesus by their witness? The person who prays for the longest? The student who memorizes the whole Bible? The church that preaches pure doctrine? Excellence along these lines could be grounds for claiming greatness, right? Wrong. In God's kingdom, such greatness is worthless currency. The drive to be the greatest, to excel above everybody else, opposes everything that pleases God. Everything that Jesus stands for. He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus answered his disciples' question with a puzzle. A child. Boys and girls are cute, of course, but how are they great? They're too small and weak to do anything impressive. They need time to grow. They have so much to learn. They need teachers. They're needy, not independent. Jesus answered their question with a warning. As long as you're wondering about how to be the greatest in God's kingdom, you're in danger of missing it completely, forever. Human strength, wisdom, and wealth used to make a name for yourself are all wasted. even God's word. If our knowledge of it is used to claim superiority over others, it is in vain. It brings glory to us at God's expense. It comes from the evil desire that was introduced to human nature when the serpent made his lying promise. When you eat of the fruit that God forbade you to eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, instead of opening our eyes, sin has blinded us from seeing what God made us to be, living reflections of his love and goodness. And it's filled us with vain longing to be great in our own eyes at the expense of others. Jesus answered his disciples' question with a call to repent. Weakness, need, and dependence, all those things that make a child seem anything but great, actually hint at the true posture of a citizen of God's kingdom. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, we heard Jesus say this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, therefore, calls you and me to give up on our plans for greatness. Drop your notions of greatness based on your own skill or knowledge or achievements. Accept this: we don't know the first thing about God's kingdom. Our ideas of greatness are all wrong. We're blind, and we need somebody to take us by the hand and lead us in the right way. We're weak in faith, and that's the only thing that pleases God. We're children, needy children. But being a child is not bad. It's a blessing. Remember Jesus' attitude towards children? "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." When we humble ourselves, admitting that we are children in need, we turn from the devil's delusions of greatness and we look to Jesus to teach us God's form of greatness. It's not the way of power, not the way of riches, nor the way of achievement. It's simply faith and love. Greatness is Jesus leaving heaven's glory to be united with the human race by his conception in the womb of Mary. Greatness is Jesus spending time with simple, unknown, needy people, giving them healing and hope. It's Jesus avoiding every temptation to make himself great in men's eyes. It is Jesus patiently teaching a group of 12 unexceptional men a way of living that was so strange to them and yet so true. Greatness is Jesus walking a dark path to death, an apparent failure. But greatness is also Jesus no longer dead but alive, forgiving us for our selfish pursuits of greatness, breathing his spirit in us to awaken our sin-weak hearts to faith, faith in God and his grace. And it's Jesus teaching us to follow him in the ways of servant love. Kingdom greatness gives us a very different view of one another. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Give up on the world's notions of greatness and you're free to stop seeing other people as better than you or worse than you, as competition, or even as enemies. We are all children, created by God to reflect his glory, fallen from that glory through our sin, redeemed by Jesus, and recreated by the Holy Spirit to live our lives for God's glory. See what kind of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be children of God. And that is who we are. kingdom greatness enters, causes us to enter our lives and live them as a daily rehearsal of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It started for us in our baptism. Jesus died for our sins and rose to life so that we may die to our sins through repentance and live by faith to serve God and our neighbors each day. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. Kingdom greatness makes us people who strive to help others to enter and live under God's reign of truth and love through repentance and faith with us. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search for the one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not my Father's will that one of these little ones should perish. We can't blame the disciples for asking Jesus the question about greatness that they asked. In fact, if we were there, we'd probably have asked it ourselves. None of us knows the first thing about God and his kingdom in ourselves. But Jesus gives this kingdom to us. Remember other words he spoke to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." So listen to Jesus in his word. Learn from him. And live with him as your great king now and forever.